Welcome back. Another edition of the Wobcast comes to you from Sports Authority Studios at Winter Park. I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw. Mike Hirst, the producer, is here as well. And it's an action-packed week at Winter Park because of the launch of Organized Team Activities, otherwise known as OTAs. Toby Gerhart, running back for the Vikings, is our guest today, and he's going to tell us about how OTAs have gone so far. Plus, I have five guys who've stood out through the first 2 days of practices. We'll get to all that later. First, though, let's go through the OTA schedule. The Vikings have three of them this week, started on Tuesday, OTA number two on Wednesday, OTA number three on Thursday, and then the Vikings, all the coaches, players, staff, entire organization, goes to a local school to build a playground. It's something that they've been doing every year. I think this is the seventh year. That's going to happen on Thursday. OTAs resume next week with OTAs 4, 5, and 6. And then the week after that, it's OTA 7, 8, 9, and 10, followed by a mandatory veteran minicamp in mid-June. That is the Vikings offseason schedule. Now, though, we're going to bring in Toby Gerhart, fresh off of a weight room workout after OTA number two, so you're out of breath, kind of. Welcome in, man.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, a little tired. Long day.
First 2 days, how are they going?
It's going well. You know, today was a lot better than it was the first day. Yesterday, I think everybody's a little rusty. First time on the field, running full speed against one another, and instead of just going against air. And everybody looked a little rusty, but today everybody's flying around, having a good time, good practices.
Explain to us your schedule during the OTAs. I mean, I know you guys have a practice every day in the morning, and we have 10 of these, so you're going to get into a little bit of a groove, but you guys have meetings in the morning and then practice, and then you lift weights. What's kind of the schedule that you guys go through every day?
Yeah, so we come in, breakfast starts at 7:15 in the morning.
Yeah.
The weight room opens at 7:15, so guys come in and get a workout before everything or after practice.
Yeah.
So come in, breakfast, 7:15, about 8. Special teams meeting starts at 8:15. That goes for about a half an hour. We'll have a team meeting with Coach Frazier, everybody together, for 5 to 10 minutes, and then we'll break up and go group install between the offense and the defense. Mm-hmm. And we'll put in plays, talk about a couple key plays from the practice before on film, and then install the new plays we're going to work on and the concepts for this practice that we're going to go into.
Yep.
After that, you kind of break up with our individual coach, reinforce what we talked about, whether it be the run game for running backs, pass game for receivers, go back and watch the tape from the day before. So do all that in a couple hours and rush out to the field and have your nice practice after all that's said and done.
It's the middle of the offseason, man, but no one's going on vacations and taking breaks. I mean, it's nonstop.
Yeah, you know, we had a little bit longer break this year with the new CBA, the new scheduling. We had the first couple months of the year off. And then, you're going to come back here and grind for 2.5 months straight. And, it's nice to be with everybody. We have, a majority of the guys here. Camaraderie's good. Flying around, having fun. And it makes it fun to be out here.
It doesn't look like you took too much time off, though, man. I don't know if you bulked up or not, but it looks like, I mean, you look very fit. You look good, man.
Yeah, I feel, better going into this year. I feel leaner, stronger, quicker. The knee's not an issue. And feel good. And I was joking with you earlier. I thought this was going to be on camera. That's why I came straight from the weight room.
Yeah.
Get that little
you would have looked good, man. You're swollen up. So how do you, as a running back, where it's important to be quick and fast, but you still want to continue to get stronger so you can take hits, is it difficult at that position to manage your off season and your weight gain and your muscle gain?
Yeah, you don't want to bulk up too big. You don't want to be stiff. You don't want to be rigid. As a running back, you want to be fluid, so you got to find that fine line between strong but still maintaining your flexibility, your quickness, and everything you need as a running back. For me, I kind of have a weight that I like to be at and, continue to work on flexibility. I do yoga a few times a week to make sure I don't get too bound, too muscle bound, too tight, and not flexible. So kind of incorporate a little bit of everything each and every year, find out what works, what doesn't, and try to come in the best shape as possible.
Yeah. Different for you this year is the fact that Adrian Peterson rehabbing his knee injury, and you had to rehab a knee injury too, but from what I can tell at OTAs, you're back and everything is good. So we have Adrian coming back, rehabbing that knee injury, and you may have to step into a different role than you've had here in the past. So do you approach the offseason differently because of that?
Yes and no. I mean, every year you come in to compete, nothing's safe. Yes, Adrian's the man. He's the guy the team's built around. And, I compete with him. I back him up. I compliment him. And so, every year I come in to maintain that job and to challenge him and push him. And I feel like we push each other.
Yeah.
And, yes, this year is a little bit different, with him coming back. His timetable is uncertain. And, that responsibility is going to fall to me. And I'm excited about that. I'm looking forward to embracing that role as long as, you know, I'll need to do it, and you know, would love to do it. You know, just working hard, trying to trying to be ready, build confidence with our offense, with the team, and show them that, you know, I can be that guy.
Our guest on today's Wobcast is Toby Gerhart. We're two practice sessions into OTAs, and we have eight more to go. Toby, I think when the Vikings selected you in the draft, a lot of people looked at it and it was like, best running back in college football, Toby Gerhart, and the team with the best running back in the NFL takes him. They looked at that as maybe not a great match at first, but the brilliance in doing that is what's happening right now. Leslie Frazier said at his press conference today on Wednesday that we have no issues with Toby Gerhart coming in and being the main runner if he has to. And you said with the way this team is built, it's built around Adrian. But your ability and your running style is such that when you build a team around Adrian, when someone like you steps in, the team can be built around you as well. You guys both have a power running style, I guess you'd describe it. I mean, you feel completely comfortable coming in and being the starter if you have to, right?
Right, yeah. You know, that was the biggest – you know, transition for me, where high school I was the guy, college, you know, I carried it 25, 30 times a game, to where I could carry, you know, 3 to 5 times a game here. And, you know, I was just as surprised when the Vikings took me.
Yeah.
But, you know, when it all settled down, you know, I realized it was a great thing. I get to work with Adrian, learn from him, back him up, and really feel like we can be a great 1-2 punch and potentially the best 1-2 combo in the NFL. So, yeah, I mean, it's been a fun process. You know, I've grown a lot and, you know, excited to have that dynamic run game. You know, we like to be physical. Our offensive lineman loves to run the ball.
Yep.
I know, I like to think that we're kind of a run-first team. You know, hit smash mouth, hit you in the mouth, and throw it out as well. With Adrian and myself, I feel like we can do that.
Yeah, and I feel like if we are able to do that, which I think we will this season, that's going to aid Christian Ponder in his development, don't you think? When a quarterback has that running game, or the offense has that running game to rely on, I think it makes it not necessarily easier, because nothing's easy in this league that you're in, but it just makes the quarterback's job a little bit easier. It takes pressure off of Ponder, don't you think, when we have that running game?
It does. I think so, because the defense has to adjust. Yeah. You know, they can't sit back in their basic two shell, whatever it is they want to do, safeties at 10 yards, corners playing zone. It's hard to do that when you have a good run game. And they got to commit an eighth person to the box, a safety down. When you do that, you get wide receivers lined up one-on-one with DBs. You get tight ends matched up with linebackers. You don't got that safety net over the top to protect everybody. And with a good run game, you know, it forces them to have to man up, play a little more single coverage on receivers, and that really does open up the passing game.
You know, we were talking before we started recording this. It's so much easier for defenses right now, isn't it? In the OTAs and even a little bit in training camp. And that's not to take anything away from the defense, because our defense has looked good so far during OTAs. But it's easier for the defense to be further ahead at this point than the offense, right?
It is. You know, defense is, you know, I'd say football in general is instinctual, especially for a running back. But defense is pure instincts. You know, they don't have so many play calls. It's not so fine-tuned with the footwork, with the blocking concepts, you know, what you see, you know, how we're going to adjust on the fly with how the defense rotates down. They just go out there, see the ball, tackle the ball. You know, I like to call nothing against defense, but it's a much simpler game. And, you know, it's easier for them to get ahead of us to start the season when we're learning, we're installing, putting in new things. And they also get to fly around and make plays where, you know, we're just in helmets. The linemen can't grab on. They can't lock into them. You can't lower your head into a defender.
They're not supposed to.
They
like to. Though.
They can just fly around unabated and, you know, and try to make plays. So, advantage to them, but it makes us, you know, react quicker, be better with our hands, be better with our feet when we're trying to block them and stop them. And, you know, it really does help the team all the way around.
Yeah. It looks like you could play defense, and I'm not saying you're going to step in at the NFL level and play defense, but when you were in high school, were you a two-way player?
No, my high school was unique. We only played one way. It was it was a way to get more kids on the field at all times. And so I only played one way. When I was a kid, I played linebacker when I was a
kid. That's what I was going to guess. You'd be a linebacker.
Yeah,
man.
So I was a running back, linebacker.
Yeah.
So I played purely running back in high school. High school all-star game, I did play linebacker.
Really?
Just for the fun of it.
Yeah.
Played half-field safety, then come down in the box and play backer. And it was fun.
Yeah.
I made some nice plays. Intercepted the ball, took it to the house. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
It was my one time I played defense in high school. But, strictly one way. I always joke around with the linebackers that I'm going to come over and play their spot because they give me a hard time. But, it's all fun and games, but you know, I'm purely a running back.
So we're not gonna have you jump into the outside linebacker competition and play opposite Greenway or anything. You don't see
I don't think so. Not yet.
Okay, all right,
we'll see.
you went to Stanford and you referenced playing football in high school. Where did you go to high school in California?
I went to Norco High School. It's in Southern California. Great small town.
Yeah.
Horsetown, USA is what it's self-proclaimed. Cool. We're liking it to, Friday Night Lights, the movie.
Really?
Town shuts down, big trucks, everybody loves football, 5,000 to 8,000 people at a game.
Yeah.
You know, in the heart of Southern California, we had this small little country western town where, you know, they live and breathe football.
Cool. Toby Gerhart is our guest on today's Wobcast. So what led you to Stanford? I mean, you said you grew up in Southern Cal, lots of colleges around there, lots of colleges in California. You end up going to Stanford. Obviously, it worked out great for you, but what led you down there?
Yeah, there's a couple things. I was a good student, first and foremost, and education was stressed in my household. So, mm-hmm. you know, that doing well in high school afforded me the opportunity to go there. I played baseball and football. Mm-hmm. Stanford had a long tradition of two-sport athletes. You know, I really wanted to do that. They knew how that would work. The baseball coach actually played football and baseball at Stanford. He's been there for 35 years now. And so that was another plus. You know, I felt like I wanted to make a difference with the program. The year before I got there, they were 5-7, one game away from going to a bowl game. It would have been the first time in 8 years they went to a bowl game. So I felt like I could come in and potentially make a difference. Fortunately, you know, we went 1-11 my freshman year and slowly climbed back up to the powerhouse they are now. And, I feel fortunate enough and to be a part of that rebuilding process and, you know, set the groundwork for what Stanford is today.
And one of your teammates was Andrew Luck at Stanford for a couple seasons. Did you play with him? Or
I played with him for 2 years, yeah.
2 seasons. And number one overall pick. If he ends up playing well for Indianapolis, even if it's not in his first year, but eventually, but maybe it'll be in his first year, will that surprise you?
Not at all. You know, he came in as a true freshman. He redshirted my junior year. But, you know, he was running the practice squad team. And there's times I'm standing back behind it with Coach Harbaugh, and he's making plays off his back foot, throwing it 50 yards on a rope to, you know, a deep post. And, you know, Harbaugh looking at me, I glance at Harbaugh and kind of just shake our heads. You know, as a true freshman, the plays he was making in practice. And then my senior year when he stepped up, came in as the full-time starter and just, you know, really opened up our offense and took control, was calling plays at the line of scrimmage. Mm-hmm. You know, you knew he was going to be something special. Yeah. And to watch him progress this last 2 years, go number one overall, you know, that's just a testament to his work ethic, you know, his father, and, you know, he grew up in a football family.
Yeah.
And the work they've put in, and, you know, he's just a truly special, you know, quarterback.
Yeah. And you'll see him week 2. We play at Indy.
Yeah, when he got drafted by Indianapolis, I shot him text and was like, hey, man, congrats. I'll see you week 2.
See you week 2,
And, you know, looking forward to that. Our tight end also went there from Stanford, who I played with for a few years.
Oh, that's right.
And so there'll be a couple guys there from Stanford. And
Fleener, right?
Fleener, yep. Yeah. Kobe Fleener. And so looking forward to seeing those guys and playing against them.
Well, then the next week, in week 3, you know who comes to Mall of America Field? San Francisco.
Yeah, San Francisco.
So Coach Harbaugh.
Yeah.
It's going to be a reunion back-to-back weeks.
It is. You know, it's going to be fun. Coach Harbaugh and I still have a good relationship. I stay in contact with him.
Yeah.
And, you know, it'll be fun to play against them. They got a formidable defense. You know, last year they were tough against the run. And it'll be exciting to play against him, square off against him, and see him, you know, from the opposite sideline for my first time.
Toby Gerhart joins us on today's Wobcast. He's the guest. We're in Sports Authority Studios. A couple more quick ones before we go. You referenced Andrew Luck being in a football family. You come from a very athletic family, specifically your siblings and your father as well. Tell us a little bit about that.
My mom, got to give her credit. You know, she was a great high school.
I don't want to leave her out. I don't want to get mom mad at me.
She was a great high school athlete.
Okay.
Unfortunately, she did volleyball, basketball, track. Yeah. Unfortunately, tore both her ACLs in a long jump in her track meet.
Wow.
And her
at the same time?
At the same time. Oh. Her and my dad were high school sweethearts. My dad was 2 years older, so she kind of followed him and didn't.
Wow.
She had some small offers to play basketball. But my dad played college football, played in the USFL for a few years.
Yeah.
I think he even came to a camp in Minnesota,
but
unfortunately didn't make it.
Yep.
And then there's myself. I got a brother who played at Arizona State.
Garth, right?
yep. Garth, he played offensive line.
And he was actually supposed to be on the North squad at the Senior Bowl, which Leslie Frazier and our staff here coached. But something I don't remember if he got injured or he had to.
Yeah, the very first practice.
Okay, that's what happened.
Doing one-on-ones against pass rush.
Yeah.
His ring finger got caught up in the jersey, snapped his ring finger, had to go home and have surgery and reattach a bunch of tendons and stuff.
Okay.
But he's all good now.
Good.
You know, he's in Cleveland.
Okay.
out there with the Browns. And then I got triplet sisters, Tegan, Kelsey, and Whitley. Two of them are at Stanford. One is at Cal Poly San Luis Obispo. They all play softball.
Wow.
So they're all doing that at the college level. And then I got last little brother coming up through high school. He's going to be a junior. He's a quarterback.
Okay.
Heck of a baseball player as well. Early to tell about his recruitment, but you know, my dad's the football coach there at the high school now. And I was talking with him on the phone the other day, and he said there's, you know, 8, 9, 10 schools out there watching him sling the ball around.
Yeah.
Big name schools. So
that's fun.
We're excited for him, and you know, he's got 2 more years to see what happens.
Good.
But yeah, athletic family. You know, truly blessed, and
yeah.
You know, all the credit to my parents.
I hope they're going to come watch you at training camp, some of them at least. I know they did the last couple of years, right?
My whole family came out my rookie year. This past year, my parents were out here, and I'm
sure
they'll make the trip up again.
Cool. Good luck. Don't get too annoyed by those defenders, man, who are grabbing and pulling. And the offense is going to catch up. It's only a matter of time.
I think we made a little movement up today. You know,
That's what I thought, too.
I think we threw the ball well today, ran the ball well, and, you know, hopefully slowing down that defense.
The front office did a great job of holding on to some of the pieces that we needed to hold on to from previous seasons, guys who are playing well, and then adding some additional parts, don't you think?
I think so. You know, we got some, you know, great veterans that are here, that proven themselves, that really helped this team. And then we got a youth movement. You know, we got a lot of young players. You know, some of them are developing, some are a year in, 2 years in. And I think it's going to be an exciting young team that's really going to show great improvement from last year.
I agree with you, man. Well, thanks for stopping in, all right?
All right, thanks for having me.
Good luck the rest of the way.
All right, thank you.
Okay, and before we let you go, my list of 5 guys who've stood out through the first 2 practices of OTAs. And number 5 is our guest from today, Toby Gerhardt. There's never been a doubt in my mind that Toby could shoulder the load of being a full-time NFL running back. And if Adrian Peterson can't make it back for week 1, that's exactly what he's going to have to do for the Vikings. We're all optimistic that Adrian will make it back. But if he can't, I'm completely confident that Toby can handle the load. He looks fit, and my opinion of him has only been strengthened through the first 2 practices. Number 4, cornerback Antoine Winfield. Remember, he played in just 5 games last season, so it's great to see him back on the field during OTAs. He's got a bounce in his step around the facility, and he's got explosion in his legs as I've been watching him at practice. I'm excited about Antoine being back. He'll help this defense in 2012. Number 3, wide receiver Jerome Simpson, a new Viking. Vikings got him in free agency right before the draft. Jerome can track down a football. There have been times during OTAs when the quarterback has taken a short drop and has thrown the ball what looks like as hard as he possibly can, and you think there's no way this ball is going to be caught, but Jerome tracks it and makes a play on it. I think that Christian Ponder already has trust in Jerome Simpson, but the more they practice together, that trust is only going to grow, and I think there's big-time potential, playmaking potential between Jerome Simpson and Christian Ponder. Number 2, linebacker Aaron Henderson. I think he's poised for a breakout season. Has 1 year as a full-time starter under his belt. That was last year. Now he has the offseason program where he can be at Winter Park, go to meetings, be in practice. I think that's really going to help him in year 2. He was always around the football last year. Now I want to see him always around the football and making big plays. I think Aaron can do that. He's poised for a breakout season. Number 1, Brian Walters. He's 6 foot, 190 pounds, played college football at Cornell, was with the San Diego Chargers. He's a diminutive receiver with sure hands, good route running ability. I really like what I've seen from him so far. I think he could also be a punt returner. It will be interesting to see if the Vikings put him in that rotation. Remember, the Vikings have 11 receivers on the roster right now. You usually keep 5 or 6. I think Brian Walters is going to be a hard guy to cut. He's number 5 on our list, and through 2 days, I've really been impressed with him. He's going to be a player to watch this summer. That is it for us today. I'm Mike Wobshaw. Thanks again for listening. We'll leave you with a hit from Phantom Planet. Take it away. California.